The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Do you know what the next big thing is in your life? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. We want to talk today about the next big thing, planning and preparing for that next step in your life, wherever you are in life, because we all need to be preparing for the next big thing. And to help me with this discussion is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. He is my associate pastor here at First Baptist Texarkana, does a great job, and he's got a counseling background, a pastoral care background, and he has helped numerous people. He and his wife, Rochelle, have written a book on marriage, and he has helped so many couples navigate through the difficult waters of marriage problems. And so, Chris, welcome again to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, as we were talking just this earlier, as we were kind of hashing out this program, the next big thing.
Yeah.
That needs to be on the radar screen for every single person, because life doesn't stay still.
Right.
Life is constantly moving, and the next big thing is on the horizon. And
yes,
if we're not prepared for it, we're going to get hit by it.
Yeah, and also just having some direction for your own life, like choosing what the next thing is going to be. Sometimes you do have that autonomy to choose what's going to be the next thing that's happening. So often I ask people, like couples, I'll ask them, so what's something that you're looking forward to? What's something that you're excited about? I think that's really important to have something that you're looking forward to, some change in your life, something coming forward. I know that helps me a lot when I know something that I could be excited about is around the bend, you know, look forward to.
Well, and I think, you know, when a person gets older, that can be difficult for them, because they see their bodies failing, their eyesight, their hearing, their mind is probably not as sharp as it was, and opportunities are not there like they used to be, and so they kind of lose hope for the next big thing.
Although they think of all the great things were behind them, not in front of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember, if you're listening today and that's kind of your situation, you're getting on in years, as John MacArthur said, he knows he's in on the last lap
his
life.
Yes.
But that doesn't have to be a bad lap.
Well, I mean, what he's looking forward to is eternity.
Right.
I mean, so people that are older and they're getting closer to the finish line, I mean, honestly, I have a little bit of envy for them. I mean, how exciting. They're getting that close to being face-to-face with the Father.
Right.
You know, so that could be a very exciting time.
Right. The difficulty, I think it was Woody Allen said, he's not afraid to die, he just doesn't want to be there when it happens.
yeah, a lot of people, they're not afraid to die, but it's how they will die, you know, and the suffering part of death is what really concerns people.
Yeah, and you know, that's a morbid thought. You don't like to think about it too much, but we do, you know, it says of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we need to be thinking past death into eternity.
Right.
You know, I get to meet the Savior. But Chris, for those that, let's say we have a person listening that's a young person.
Right.
They're a teenager or early 20s, and maybe they're single. Mm-hmm. So the next big thing, as they think through their life and plan through their life, you know, I think about that line from the Titanic where Leonardo DiCaprio's character was just kind of fly by the seat of your pants. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's not a good way to live your life.
Right.
Where you have
no planning. Right.
It's good to plan. So the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, we can have all the plans in the world, and if God doesn't open the doors for those, they're not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Someone said, we plan and God laughs.
Right.
Right. So I think we make plans, and I think it's really good to make plans to be going in a specific direction, but then at the same time, being flexible, allowing God to pull you in, you know, whatever direction he wants you to go. So you can make a plan and be flexible at the same time, and
right,
being willing to go to plan B or plan C, and just having that flexibility, I think, is important.
Well, I think it's, you know, when you think about the person that's not married that wants to be married,
right,
which is most people want to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God
created us that way.
Right. And so you have some that are called to be celibate for the Lord's reasons, mm-hmm, and purposes, mm-hmm, but most are not in that category.
No.
And so it's good to think about, okay, well, what am I looking for in a spouse?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the best marital advice I ever got was, you know, to find the right person, be the right person.
Yes, that's true.
And so you have to be walking in the Spirit and conducting yourself in a way that would attract a person,
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm. Because marriage is two whole people coming together. It's not two people completing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just looking for someone to complete you, only God completes you.
Right.
But working on your weaknesses, your areas of struggle, in the meantime, until someone comes.
Right. So when you think back, I know we've shared from your experience. So first marriage, you didn't have a good plan as far as, you know, I need to marry somebody that's got this quality, this
right,
quality, this quality. Now, when you married Rochelle,
yeah,
you're thinking more along those lines, right?
Right. Yeah, I definitely had more of an idea of what I was looking for, what I wanted in a spouse, what, you know, the characteristics that were needed in that spouse. Mm-hmm. And I was very blessed to find a woman who hadn't been married, and she had been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she was everything that I ever would want, but I had been thinking about what would be the best type,
right,
of person.
Well, and I know that young guys can get enamored with beauty, outer beauty.
Yes.
Beauty fades.
Yes.
It has to be deeper than that. I think it's important, you know, you and I have talked about this before, there needs to be physical attraction there.
Yes.
That's critical when you get married, but it has to be more than just that.
Well, we talk about, there's three aspects of love. You have the commitment, you know, the willful decision of who you're going to be with. You have the intimacy, is the friendship, the phileo kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the passion, the eros, that's the romantic kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the intimacy needs to be before the passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so the emotional connection needs to be there before the passion connection. So I know with Rochelle and I, we talked for a long time before we even physically met. And so we were building that friendship, that phileo kind of love, before we got into the passion, the eros kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for a guy, that's very important because, yeah, we are very visual.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very easy for guys to get the physical ahead of the emotional. And then you can't think straight. Then you're right, not able to make rational, solid decisions.
Right. Well, I think that's why, you know, so critical, as the scripture says, let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. It's exactly what you just said, Chris. Guys that get the physical before other things, it clouds your vision.
Yep.
Because that's just so overwhelming, mm-hmm, that you can overlook a lot of red flags in the midst of that, because the immorality is just, it's all consuming at that point.
So I had a physical type of girl that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend that. You know, you want to look at the heart.
Right.
You know, man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. I think the heart is much more important. The characteristics of the person, the character of the person.
Right.
More than just the physical. Of course, like you said, you want to be attractive. So when I first saw Rochelle, I was like, oh, this is great. This is really good that I'm attracted.
Right.
You know, and so we already had the emotional part there.
Right.
So the physical attraction definitely matters, but I think there's an order to it.
Well, and you know what's interesting too is I've had the experience of seeing a girl, and you just see her from a distance, you think she's so attractive,
mm-hmm,
then you get to know her.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you're not attractive anymore.
Yeah, right.
Because the inside person doesn't match. Mm-hmm. And when the inside person is not attractive, that affects the outside person where you don't think of them as attractive.
Well, anymore. Like if she's a dripping faucet, if she's just nagging constantly and real negative personality, not much of a glow about her. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? How the emotional affects the physical.
And then vice versa, somebody that maybe you don't think is very outwardly pretty, you get to know them and all of a sudden they become very pretty.
Yes.
Because the inner person is so godly.
Yes.
Okay, so having a plan before you get married.
So you're talking about like even just who you're going to date and to lead to marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for those that aren't married, you have standards in your dating. Mm-hmm. Don't just date any, as we would say, Tom, Dick, or Harry.
You know,
it needs to be a godly person, somebody that's pursuing the Lord.
And dating with purpose.
Yes.
Not just dating for a good time, but actually dating for purpose. The older you get, the more you're dating with purpose.
Yeah, because otherwise you're spinning your wheels and the clock is ticking if you want to have a marriage and family and that kind of thing.
But I see a lot of people that are singles and they're getting older and they're not really they want to be married, but I don't know, they're just waiting for God to drop someone out of the sky, you know? And I do think there's a pursuit aspect. You know, there is an aspect of putting yourself in the right place to pursue the right kind of person, which I would be a huge proponent of. Church is the best place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course you're going there to worship God and have fellowship with others, but that is a great place to meet someone.
Right. You know, it's we talk about, well, I'm trusting the Lord to provide me a spouse. Well, that's great. You need to do that.
Yeah.
But think about it like looking for a job. Well, I'm trusting the Lord to bring me a job. Yeah, you do that, but then you also beat the bricks. You know, you
got to work hard to find a job.
You got to get out there. You got to be sending your resume out. You got to be going to these places and interviewing and all these things. So those aren't in conflict with one another. They complement one another.
Yes.
God is the one that opens the door, but you have to get your name, your face, your person out there.
Ask, seek, knock. You know, pursuing that right person.
So that would be the next big thing for somebody that's not married that wants to be married. Then we start talking about, okay, what kind of a home life am I going to have? What kind of a family? We want to have children. Many people want to have children.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard from Jordan Peterson a clip. He didn't call me personally, but a clip that I saw where he was saying so many women, they're not getting married, they're not having kids, and they're making a conscious choice to not do that. He said those women are going to rue the day that they made that choice because you know there's only so much time for that to happen.
Right.
And once you get past that age, then you can't go back in time. You can't have children. So,
and also just to be a risk, if you wait too long, then it's a risky pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. J, our friend, Dr. J. Opperbu Sudhir, he told me, I should have known this, but I didn't know it. He said, you know, a woman only has so many eggs.
Mm.
He said, that's not the same for a man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an egg and a sperm. Well, a man can produce sperm, you know, for a long time, but a woman only has so many eggs. And so he said, as you get older, your eggs are not as good as they were when you were younger. So all that to say to the topic, the next big thing. So if you want to have children, then you got to be thinking through that and preparing for that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a good, solid marriage to bring this child into.
You're building a family.
Uh-huh.
Now, I do believe that obviously the husband and the wife need to talk about it and how many kids they want to have and when they want to have the kids. But I do believe that the wife has more of a say than the husband on that issue because she's the one caring for 9 months. So he might say that, more than caring, just all the responsibility that she has when the child's a baby.
Right.
And so I do think that she carries more weight with how many children they're going to have or when they're going to have the children.
Well, it's funny. So Amy and Travis, my middle daughter and her husband, just a super guy, but they said they wanted to have 4 kids.
Uh-huh.
And they got married. She was 30. And
they got to work fast.
Yeah, they had to work fast. So they've had three boys inside of 5 years, or inside of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea we're going to have 4, once you have 3, you're like, I think we're good.
That's a big difference, 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Going from 3 kids to 4 kids.
It's a friend of mine said, you know, you go from man to man to zone. And I had another friend that had 4 kids, and he said, 3 is a zoo, so what's one more?
Now, Rochelle was 33 when we got married, and she had never been in a relationship like that, and she'd never been married, and she wanted children. And so we had one, we had Anna right away, pretty quickly, and she wanted another one. And I wasn't sure, but it's good because when they're close in age, they play together. They're automatic companions for each other.
Well, it's hard those first few years, but then they get a little older and it's like, well, this is wonderful.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we're talking about the next big thing. What's the next big thing on your horizon? Are you planning and preparing yourself for it? Because life does move on. It doesn't stay still. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the next big thing. Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. God wants us to not just fly by the seat of our pants in life. He wants us to be thinking about things, to live and walk in wisdom. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, that we need to be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, Chris, you played sports growing up. I played sports growing up. And one of the things that our coaches were good at doing is putting us in scenarios and situations. So when you're in the game, you've practiced like we used to practice last second shots. Hey, my coach would put 3 seconds on the clock. We have 3 seconds. We're down by one. What plays are we going to run? And it really helped because then when we were in that situation, we're not just looking around saying, what do we do?
Right.
So a good coach will do that for you. How do you handle the press? How do you do this? And how do you do that? So that is true in life. Because in life, we need to have a plan for certain things. And so we talked about marriage, we talked about parenting and children, and how we're going to parent our children, how we're going to have a united front. I think that some parents haven't really thought that through. How do we parent? You know, you have a baby, and the parenting is just taking care of that infant that can't do anything, but that little infant is going to start growing, and you have to have boundaries, and what those boundaries are going to be. It's really important for mom and dad to have a plan.
Yeah, so we encourage families to do, it's called a vision wheel, and it's hard to say it on radio, but basically like a pizza pie with 8 pieces, and like goals that you have for your family. So like financial goals, fun goals, trips that you want to go on, you know, debt that you want to get out of, spiritual goals, books that you want to read as a family, and then have a vision statement for your family, a vision statement that describes what you want your family to be all about. And so, I mean, if you're not shooting for anything, you know, you're going to hit nothing, right? If you're aiming for nothing, you're going to hit nothing. And so I think it's really important to have some goals as a family. So, and depending on how old your children are, they're a part of that planning, you know? And so sitting down as a family, some couples even do like a vision retreat where they get away and they set some goals and they set a vision for their family. But yeah, because marriage, there can be some challenge, some struggle in marriage when you have different ideas on how to discipline children, how to raise children based on their own family of origin and what they saw. And so we see that a lot in counseling where couples are struggling with one's the disciplinarian and one's not. And
Yeah. And that's, we even see that with when you have your biological kids, but then you have a blended family, it's even more so. I would think that's critical for the couple to really sit down and talk through, you know, how are we going to do this and who's going to do the discipline? You know, Chris, I've talked to couples over the years and, you know, when you're when you're not the biological father, it's really hard to be the
disciplinarian. You're in a hard spot. It's like your hands are tied. I mean, technically, really the biological parent is the one that needs to be doing the discipline. You know, the other one needs to be there as a support, but especially if that child already has, say, a biological father in another house, you don't have a lot of weight to do discipline, you know, in the way that's needed.
Yeah, and so you know, this scenario plays out a lot where a strong leader of a guy, a cleric kind of person, he marries a phlegmatic wife. Well, she's the biological mother of these kids, she lets them get away with too much, and it's going all over him. That can create so much fireworks in the marriage and in the home. And
that choleric guy, maybe he has some military background or something like that. I've seen those situations. That is really, really challenging. And so, I mean, just to be brutally honest, in those situations, we love the blended family. Like, we love the people that are part of that, but it's a broken situation. And so it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smooth. It's going to be something you can get through, and there's ministries to help with that. But just seeing the fact that this is not what God intended, it's broken. And so it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. And you're going to have to really talk through it and deal with some tough issues. And in fact, when we're dealing with couples that are a blended family, it's different. It's totally different.
Yes.
Than a, what do you call it, traditional family.
Right. Yeah. First time through the turnstile and you're starting out, you're both in your, you know, mid-20s, early-20s, whatever it might, late-20s, whenever it is. But you're doing things together, and all the children are biological children, or you've adopted, but you're together with this child, and you don't have an ex somewhere that can really muddy the waters. You know, I really feel for couples that are going through that, because that's not easy. You know, I tell people this a lot, Chris. If I'm counseling them and they have a difficult situation, I say, listen, you need to know up front, if I'm you, I'm struggling too.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to say, because they think they're alone. They think that they're strange because they're struggling. But it's like, I say that all the time. If I were you, I'd be having that same struggle.
Yeah, because it's just hard.
It's just hard. Yeah.
And so I don't care how far along you are spiritually.
Yeah.
It's just hard. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, but I mean, Paul's arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived. Well, he had trouble with the thorn in the flesh.
Right, yeah.
He didn't want it.
I always tell people that. Yeah, that thorn in the flesh never went away, but it continued to be so instrumental in starting the Christian church and writing much of the New Testament. So even though he still had that thorn, he didn't let it hold him back from what God had called him to do.
Right.
Ron Deal is a great resource. His books are excellent. We have a ministry in our church for blended families, and so being connected with other blended families that are going through those same struggles and having mentors to help you, that makes it a lot easier.
Well, we're talking about the next big thing. Dr. Chris Schroeder is my guest today. And so what is the next big thing on your horizon? So, Chris, we have the young person that wants to be married, or maybe a person that had gone through a terrible divorce and they still want to be married. So that's the next big thing on the horizon. Parenting, getting your children you know, to love the Lord, walk with the Lord, and well-adjusted people that take responsibility, honest, hard-working kids. I mean, we want that for our kids. I have found the best way to see that reproduced in your kids is to model it for them. You know, if you're not going to model it for them, they're not going to do it probably.
Right. And so, yeah, so your stage, your next new thing or the change in your life may be based on the age of your kids. So maybe your kids are going into elementary school or middle school, or they're going into high school or empty nest, whatever stage your kids are going through, you're going through that stage as a parent.
Right.
And so that might be the next thing, you know, especially when fall hits and your kids are starting school, they might be in a new phase. So that puts you in a new phase.
Well, and it's kind of funny. I just thought about this. So some people are really geared toward babies and little ones, and then others are geared toward maybe, you know, elementary school age kids, toddlers in elementary school. And then some kids, some parents really do great when their kids are a little older in that high school years. And so it's kind of trying to find, okay, where do I really shine, and how can I prepare for that next step? Because if you're great with babies and toddlers, but you're not so good with high schoolers, well, guess what? You're going to have to take a crash course in that, because that's coming.
Yeah. So again, great resources out there, you know, parenting books out there. So you're preparing yourself. Nothing more important than that, than raising children.
Right.
And so you're working at it, you're studying, and you're helping your kids through that next stage of life.
Okay, and then for some, they're facing empty nest. And so I was talking
This is a hard one. for people?
So Emily Serene on our staff, a wonderful lady on our staff. She and Ross have Jack. Well, Jack, she told me he's, you know, he's going to be a junior in high school, 17.
They are going to struggle. That is a hard one.
She's already talking to me about empty nest. She's got that on her radar screen.
Yeah.
And she knows that's going to be hard. And, you know, Jack and Ross are buddies, you know, father and son.
She calls them themselves the three amigos. Yeah.
So how do you prepare for that step?
Yeah. And I think young adult is a hard stage in itself. In my opinion, that's one of the hardest stages. So when your kid is not under your roof anymore, either college or just out of college, and they're making their own decisions. And so you've raised them, you've done their job, but now they are making their decisions. I think that's really, really challenging. And so your marriage is very important, because a lot of times couples will look at each other and the kids are gone. And it's like, now we just have each other. And so hopefully you have not prioritized your children over your marriage.
Right.
So hopefully you have a marriage-centered home, and you better become a marriage-centered home before those children leave. Because the marriage continues, you know, that marriage relationship continues, but that child is now different. You know, that child is an adult now. And so I think you're in real trouble if you've had a child-centered home, you know. And so we talk about that a lot, and we see a lot of child-centered homes. And so, and the divorce rates spike when the children leave home.
Yeah, so you have to be, adding to the marriage every single day, you know, on a consistent basis while those kids are...
And the kids need to see that. The kids need to see a marriage-centered home, because they're going to get married at some point. And so, and they're going to be married longer than they were under your roof. And so one of the healthiest things you can give your children is them seeing a good marriage modeled in front of them. And they don't need to be prioritized. You know, they need mom and dad to love each other more than anything.
Right.
And out of that love for each other, that flows onto the children. But they need to see a strong marriage.
And they're not going to tell you that when they're little kids or teenagers.
Yeah.
Because it's all about me for a kid. They're just selfish and self-centered.
Self-oriented, yeah.
But that really is important. So that next big thing, and you work at, you know, you work now, if you're a parent of, you know, two, three, four kids, whatever you got to work now toward that next step where you are going to be empty nesters, because hopefully your kids grow up and mature and leave the nest.
Yeah, and you're giving your kids more and more freedom as you go, more and more autonomy as you go, because they're making their own decisions, and sometimes you're not going to like their decisions, but they have to make their own mistakes. They have their own race to run, just like you have your race to run. They have their own race to run, and none of us did it perfectly. We all made our mistakes, and so they're going to have to make their own mistakes. And so there's a fine line between being passive in your parenting and just letting your kids, you know, do whatever, but also being too hands-on and too controlling, and then they don't know how to make their own decisions. And so walking that line somewhere in the middle, that's a challenge, but that's what you're shooting for.
Well, you bring up something that I think is an important point for us to remember as parents. You know, you were your kid's age one time.
Yes.
You need to remember what it's like to be.
You'll start giving
age.
Them a lot of slack, you'll start giving them a lot of grace when you remember that what you were like when you were their age.
Right, because you know things they don't know. You're hopefully a lot more mature emotionally and spiritually and in all the ways than they are. But you want them to think like you do. They're not going to think like you do. You didn't think like your parents. They're not going to think like you. And so, yeah, give them grace when they mess up, because they are going to mess up. And I think that's important. So remember what it's like to be 15.
Well, I think that as they grow older and they become young adults, if you've done, you know, the best you can and God's really working in their lives, you get the beauty of having friends. Like, they become your friends.
Right.
They're not your friends when they're growing up. But as they get older, especially same gender, mothers to daughters and fathers to sons, you become like a friend, like a companion.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's healthy.
It really is. Okay, so let's shift gears now, talk about career.
Yes.
So we start off and, you know, whether it's high school into a job situation or if it's high school, college, and then into a job situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what the stats are. Chris, I've heard, you know, people change jobs, careers two or three, maybe four times before they kind of land on what they're going to do.
Yeah. And changing majors, I think, in college is, I think it's like four times, an average of four times.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, you know, I think about when I was going to college at the University of Texas, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't really know that much about what else was out there, you know?
Now there's a lot more pressure for you to find out because there's a lot of dual credit programs. Mm-hmm. And so you're basically, I mean, we have some high school students that are graduating high school with an associate's degree, and that's great. But my concern with that is then they better know what they're doing then when they hit college, because all their general studies classes are done.
Yes.
And so now you got to be in your major. And so that's challenging. If you already know what you want to do by the time you're in high school, that's great. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I would really encourage parents is there's programs, there's pretty intensive programs you can do, but there's also more simple things you can do to direct your teenager turning young adult into what field, like based on their personality, based on their mm-hmm. skill set, directing them to, like, you know, you would be really good at such and such based on your personality, temperament, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really important to start directing your young adult children into profession.
And with what we're seeing in the universities where they become woke indoctrination camps, you know, Jordan Peterson, who is a professor at a university, said, don't send your kids there. Mm-hmm. You'd be better off sending them to trade school. Learn something that
is a skill.
Whether it's you know, something related to electrical or HVAC or something that they mm-hmm. can use. You know, guys that can fix stuff are naturally good at doing that. Starting your own business, and you can do really well with that.
Yeah, those guys make a lot of money off of guys like us.
Right. Yes, my orthopedic surgeon said, you know, he goes, they've cut my the amount of money I make for a knee replacement down all the time. And he said, and the plumber keeps his rates keep going up.
Wow, that's a great point.
And he says, mine keep going down because of insurance, you know, restrictions and things like that.
So you want your children to find something that they're good at, and just that one thing that they know they can do and they can make a living doing, you know, and especially for boys that they need to become providers for their family. Mm-hmm. So if they can find that thing of what it is, whether it be blue collar or white collar, something that they can do to be able to provide for their family.
Yeah. And if you work your passion, then you're not really working because you enjoy doing it.
When you're young, you can still work your passion. But as you get older, you got to just provide, you know, you just got to find something.
Well, we're talking about the next big thing. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the next big thing. What is the next big thing that is on your path of life? We need to be thinking along those lines because life continues to move forward. Nobody's life stays the same. And, you know, as we said, as you're getting on in years, maybe your next big thing really is going on to glory. Well, that's a great next big thing. You're getting ready for the biggest promotion of your life.
And you want to finish well.
And finish well. That's really, really important, especially for guys in the ministry. Finish mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit when it's time to maybe pass the baton to a younger guy. If you're a pastor, you can stay too long maybe in a position. God's never finished with us, Chris, in ministry, but as far as being at a particular place, mm-hmm. that can end. And the Lord can open up another door. So we're talking about careers in the second segment, and it's important for people to be thinking along those lines. Am I doing something that's really fulfilling in life, or do I just hate what I do?
Right, right. I mean, I just think about it like you have one life. You know, God's given you one life to steward, and why would you waste it on something that's, you know, not your gifting, not your skill set, not your passion. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a waste, you know? So I have so much admiration, respect for people. Maybe they go back and get a degree in something else, or they try something else that they've always wanted to try. Mm-hmm. Good for them, because you have one life to steward. And so you might as well live it, you know, John 10:10, live it to the fullest.
Yeah, so for me, you know, I was in my 30s when the Lord called me to preach, and so the idea of leaving my job, very secure, I was successful in it, but I only liked about half of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember my parents were just kind of scratching their head thinking, what are you doing? Have you, you know, fallen off the deep end? And, but to have Debbie be supportive, I think God's called you to the ministry, and let's do this, and I'm behind you, and we'll make the sacrifices we need to make. That was exhilarating.
Having your wife's support is huge. Like, that is a huge mm-hmm. factor. But I just talk to a lot of young guys who they may feel a call to ministry, and they do a lot of talk, and they do a lot of kind of complaining about where they're at. But, hey, get out of the boat. Do something.
Right.
You know, take that step. Take that step of faith, you know.
And it does require that. And that's one of the things, this is a little off topic, but one of the things that I agree with Dr. Paige Patterson, you need to go to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys that just, you know, you can do it all online now, mm-hmm. that's not the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not having to put as much skin in the game when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you, like what I did, when you leave your job, resign, and move across the country to go to seminary,
mm-hmm.
You find out very quickly if God has really called you to do this.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of sacrifice associated with that, and that helps you grow.
Yeah.
So the old
show God that you're serious.
Yeah, no pain, no gain. I mean, if you don't have any, if it doesn't disrupt your life at all, then it's, you know, you're not really in it.
Well, people say they're too busy or they've got too much, you know, at stake. Well, you're either going to do it or you're not.
Right.
And if you're not going to do it, then don't complain about where you're at. You know, I'm not trying to be harsh, but you've got to make a decision, and then you've got to move.
Right. So in a career, Chris, all careers kind of come to an end.
Uh-huh.
And so for those that are listening that maybe they're 60, 65, and they're kind of eyeing the finish line for this particular job, you know, we see President Donald Trump, he's 79 years old, I think.
Yeah. Isn't he older than Bill Clinton?
I think so.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean,
He's sharp. Energetic.
I saw a video clip of Jake Tapper, and mm-hmm. he was talking about the debate that sunk Biden's presidential hopes.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And he said that debate started at 9 o'clock, and Tapper was saying, I was shocked that Biden would agree to do a debate.
Tapper said that? Wow.
That started at 9 o'clock, because he said, you know, and these were his words. He says, Trump has an energy source of some other, you know, realm.
For Tapper to say that, that's a big deal.
Yeah. But, you know, you would expect, you know, a guy in his 80s doesn't want to start the debate at 9. I mean, I wouldn't go to a party that started at 9.
And Trump eats McDonald's. And, you know, he's not like a fitness guy or anything like that. It's like a genetic thing.
It's amazing. And so you have a few guys that are really, I mean, they're still able to go hard charging.
Olin in our church.
Olin Owens is 88.
Late 80s, yeah.
87, 88, and he's still going strong. But for most of us, we start thinking, mm-hmm. where is the finish line? You start getting, you know, mid-60s, 70, 75 maybe is out outside
it's getting older now as the where the economy is. It used to be younger. It is getting older now.
And so for guys in ministry, you know, they say you hit people on 10 years either side of your age.
Yeah.
So a pastor that's 40 years old, he can garner the attention of 30-year-olds and 50-year-olds. That's going to be his sweet spot. Not that other people don't listen to him, but, you know, as you get older, then the crowd gets a little older. Mm-hmm. And so a guy who's 60 years old, you know, you're 50 and 70.
Yeah.
And churches have to constantly reach younger people, otherwise they get old and die. So you have to keep filling up the pipeline with new people. And so, Chris, as we think about like the next big thing, let's say I'm listening and I'm 68 years old.
Uh-huh.
So what would I be preparing for?
I think that life beyond just like golf or pickleball, you know, those are great. Those are great hobbies. Those are great activities, fun activities, maybe good for your health, but purpose, things with great purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, missions trips, short-term missions trips, or maybe serving somewhere in the church or some sort of ministry that you've always wanted to do but haven't had the time to do it. Something with great purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather, at the end of his life, I asked him if he had any regret. He played a lot of golf. He was a really good golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually regretted that he played so much golf. He
really
wished he would have done more like in ministry.
Oh, wow.
And so, and you know, it's not that he wouldn't have played golf. He loved golf. But he wished he would have done more in the church and maybe even mission-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And so think of something that you can do that has purpose. I had someone in my office the other day. He was young 60s, and he had retired pretty fast. And he was literally to the point of sobbing in my office because he was depressed about not having direction in his life. And just he was going 100 miles an hour, and then he just stopped.
Yes.
And you know, that's going to cause a lot of trauma.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. That's like a traumatic experience. And so trying to fill that with pickleball or whatever, that's not going to be enough. And so having a plan, like we're talking about this whole episode, having a plan before it happens that you can turn to something. And the best way to find your purpose, the best way to find what God wants you to do is based on your own experiences, your own hurts, your own challenges that you had. Go to that specific area, and that's where you can find probably what God wants you to do and the type of person that God wants you to minister to.
Well, I love the story about Clint Eastwood. You know, Clint Eastwood is 80, no, he's 90, 90. 98 or something like that.
Wow.
He's up in his 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't ever think about retirement or stopping or now he's in.
Money's not a problem.
No, him. Money's not an issue. But he's in the entertainment world. And so he can kind of, you know, if people want him to do a movie, he can still do a movie. But I love what he said. This was a few years ago when he did the movie The Mule.
Mm-hmm.
Before he shot The Mule, he was playing golf with some country and western singer, Toby Keith.
Uh-huh.
And Toby was asking him, well, what are you getting ready to do? You know, Clint, what's your next big thing? He said, well, I'm getting ready to go shoot a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, wow, at your age, you're shooting a movie? And he said something about, you can't let the old man in.
Ooh.
And so then Toby Keith wrote that song, Don't Let the Old Man In.
Huh.
I wanted to read these lyrics because they're really good. Don't let the old man in. I want to leave this alone. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. And I knew all my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body's weathered and worn. Ask yourself, how would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast each sundown with wine. We don't do that, but don't let the old man in. And I love that because, you know, what was it? Satchel Paige said, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
I love that question. I was just going to say that. I ask people, older people that all the time. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you really were?
Right.
Yeah.
And so now a lot of that, when physically you don't feel good and your joints hurt and all that, and you feel like an old man.
But there's nothing better than a youthful senior adult.
Uh-huh.
It's so encouraging. Like Olin Owens is such an inspiration. When I see people like that, it's like, that's the way I want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Just spry and hopeful and joyful and you're rolling
mentally,
with the punches.
Mentally, physically, in every way, youthful.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
Well, Dean Barry is a good friend of mine. He's 84 years old, and he and I play a lot of golf together. And he told me, he said, you know, I get down on the floor on a fairly regular basis just so I have to get up. So to keep me in the mode of having to get up. Because, you know, as you get older, you know, you don't get on the floor. It's hard to bend over to tie your shoes. I struggle to get down now, and I have to force myself to do that. Prayer is a good thing, down on your knees, because it forces you down. When we pray at the church, you know, and I'll have everybody get on his knees, and I'm having to hold on to something.
You're hearing everybody's knees crack as they go down, and all the grunting, but groaning.
But it is important. And so how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? That's a great question. And the Lord wants us to be people who are growing in grace and mercy and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the song says that the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, the more love he bestows. We ought to be growing like that.
And like in your faith too, like in your mind, reading new things, learning new things, maybe being in new Bible study classes. Instead of thinking that you've arrived, but constantly having a growth mindset, no matter how old you are. You know, Dr. Daniel Amen, he does works with the brain and fighting back dementia and Alzheimer's. He talks about playing paddle sports and using the other hand. So if you're right-handed, play left-handed. There's a lot of different little tricks you could do to keep your mind sharp. We've talked about memorizing scripture is not as easy the older you get, but still working at it.
And doing puzzles, crossword puzzles, and things like that are good for your brain.
Sudoku, people love that.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, as we talk about the next big thing, remember this. So Jesus said in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." I still remember hearing a sermon where the preacher was saying, you know, you need to pour your foundation when it's dry, when the sun is shining.
That's good.
You can't do that when the storms come.
Yeah.
You know, when
too late.
When we pour cement and concrete, it has to be dry and sunny.
Right.
Because you can't do it in the rain.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people wait until there's a disaster. They're not planning for the next big thing. And then, oh, Lord, now I want to build my house. And the Lord says, well, I can't pour a foundation in the rain. This is not going to happen. You should have done that. You should have thought about that when it was sunshine. And Chris,
because storms are going to come.
They're coming. And so that's one of the things, too, that we had talked about is preparing yourself for a crisis.
Right. Yeah. Because a lot of times I see people, they're in crisis and they haven't been in the Word. They haven't been spending time with God. I always ask people, who's your support system? So who are the people around you? That makes a huge difference. And so if you haven't done those things when the crisis hits, it may be too late. And so, I mean, I don't mean to be negative, but crisis is going to come.
Right.
So you're either in one right now, you're either coming out of one, or you're about to go in one.
Right.
And so being prepared for that crisis. So I love that Matthew 7 text, 24 through 27, about building on rock, not building on sand. Because the storms could be your own choices, but the storms could just be life.
Right.
Bad report from the doctor, financial loss, relationship struggle, all those things that just hit because it's life, because we live in a sinful, fallen world.
Well, as much as you know, we would hate to see something happen to one of our loved ones, if you live long enough, you're going to experience the loss of a loved one.
Yes.
Whether it's a parent, a sibling, a child, a spouse, those things do happen. And we don't like to think about those, but we need to be prepared for that.
And that's going to test your faith. So you're going to see what your faith is really made of. It's not in the good times. It's in those struggles. You know, it's in those valleys that you find out what your faith is really made of. And so, you know, and I feel for couples who have been married for a long period of time and one of the spouses has passed away. Man, that's just that is just so heart-wrenching. That's so difficult. But that person was not your number one anyways. The Lord was your number one, and the Lord does not change. And so he's always good. He's always faithful.
Right.
And so keeping your relationship with the Lord as the strongest and most important?
Well, I think about when Job lost all his children, and they tell him that you lost your money, you lost your kids. He arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Yes.
We need to live like that. Well, Chris, thank you for being my guest today as we've been talking about the next big thing. Maybe you want to share this with a friend, a neighbor, a loved one. You can at afr.net. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you next time. God bless you.